Afternoon, everyone. I'm Mel, I'm an addict. It's so good to be here, and thank you very much. Just a minute, just get my timer on. Oops. So yeah, I've been asked to thank, I just want to thank P for asking me to share today. It's such a privilege to be here, and yeah, I'm just so grateful to be here today and not in some hospital with loads of wires coming out of me wondering what is going on. And it is only by the grace of God that I'm standing here today. I know that through the 12-step program and being empowered by that power that we get in touch with through the steps. It's only through that power that I'm here. So when I was thinking about doing this share, I was going to write loads of notes. And then my husband said, don't write any notes. Just do it off the cuff. You're better off the cuff. So if I go wrong, I can blame him. it's been great to hear everyone go through all the steps today. There's been a lot that's come up for me. And, I'll be celebrating 14 years in about 4 weeks' time. And and there's still things that come up. And it was interesting because one of the guys was talking on 4 and 5. And, you know, I did that stuff 14 years ago. And something came up. And I was like, what is going on? And then I went and sat with my sponsor at lunchtime, and something came up, and I was like, what is going on? It's all around 8 and 9, and I'm like, what is going on? So anyway, yeah, so I just got a bit of work to do. I haven't arrived, and I keep my feet on the ground today, you know. I stay humble, I'm not and teachable, and, you know, I know I don't know everything about 8 and 9. I have my experience, and I hope that through sharing my experience around these steps that someone will get something. There was a gentleman who spoke on 6 and 7. 6 and 7 for me are very important because here we learn about our shortcomings and how our shortcomings are then turned into something good, because our defects of character, when you're doing your 4 and 5, it is a freeing experience, but at the same time, it opens your eyes up to how you've been behaving. And I know someone else said this today, but I really didn't think I was a very bad person. I thought I was a lovely person and selfless and all those things. But what I discovered is that these defects, selfishness, inconsiderate, you know, dishonest, I needed to know those things to be able to see when I get to the truth can make me free. And the way it makes me free is knowing that fundamentally, in and of myself, I can't do this program without that power. And those defects stand in the way of that power, and that power is God. And I felt really uncomfortable with that when I first came in the program, but it's important to get really good sponsorship. And the reason I say that is because it's because sponsorship has been key to me to stay on track and to have somebody that has gone through this process and to take me through it. Because like someone else mentioned, you know, there are words in here that I had no idea what they meant, and we had to go through it. So the opposites of those defects, let me get back to that. Sorry, I'll go off track. So the opposites of those defects are things like total honesty, considerate, kindness, selflessness, the altruistic living that we're supposed to live, all these kind of things. And those are the things that I need the power of a God that I choose to call God, enables me to then go into this process of amends. And first of all, I need to be honest, which is one of the opposites of being dishonest. And that's what empowered me to write my list. And so as I was going through my 4 and 5 the first time, you know, nearly 14 years ago, my sponsor wrote down everything, then told me after I'd done my 4 and 5 to go away and think about any other things that still make me feel uncomfortable, people that I've hurt, that I've harmed, and write those in the list. And that's what I did. The promises tell us to be painstaking about this phase. And, you know, I'm one of these people, I have to go away and look at a word and, like the other gentleman said, and Google it. So painstaking means to take great care and be attention to detail and be thorough and sincere. So I had to go away and I'd really look at this list. And I wrote the list. It's important that when you're doing this list, you know why you're doing it. You know, the thing is, I knew I had to get this power, and I knew that if I didn't do this stuff, I was going to drink and use. And I'm not saying that if you've still got amends on your list that you're going to drink and use again, because that hasn't been my truth, because I've got people on my list that maybe I couldn't make amends to, which I've just actually just spoken to my sponsor about, which was we're going to do a surrogate amends because I was in a domestic violent relationship for 4 years, and it's taken a lot of healing to take place for me to even get to the place of forgiveness to be able to even think about making amends to that person for my part. So it says here, now we need to take more action, without which that faith without works is dead. Let me just have some water. I get really bad vocal fatigue. It says faith without works is dead, but somebody pointed out to me that works without faith is dead. So if I do these things mechanically, because I want something from them, then I'm doing it from a defect of selfishness. So I need to be able to do this with the other person's best interests at heart. Now, when I was thinking about what I was going to share today, I kept getting woken up. There's a really good speaker that I listened to, and he says, we can be asleep dreaming we're awake. And I was woken up to this. This was the truth I was woken up to. Think about this just for 1 minute. How somebody's really wronged you. And I've got a situation right now where somebody has really wronged me. I didn't do anything to them. I have done a searching inventory around it, and I didn't do anything wrong, but they did something to me. And how that affects you when somebody's done injustice has happened to you. It really hurts, doesn't it? It really hurts. I did that for years to my family and friends. I did loads of things to them. I hurt them, I harmed them. I made my mum have sleepless nights where she would take Zopiclone, you know. She became addicted to it. She's now got fibromyalgia. I sometimes think that that was not in a, I don't beat myself up, but I do think, oh, did that trauma cause that? You know, what I did when I was using had an effect on people's lives. And so, yeah, so I got this list. I thought it over. I thought about any uncomfortable feelings I have around people because of something I'd done, and I added them to the list. And I start to take responsibility. And for me, this is the part where we start to grow up. Because for me, I had just been like a child. blaming everyone and anything for why my life was the way it was. And so I've done the list, and now I'm going to review it with my sponsor, and we're going to do the 9th step prayer. And we mustn't shrink at anything, it says. And so it says here, asking each morning in meditation that our Creator show us the way of patience, tolerance, kindness, and love. I had to take that into every amends, that I'm not doing this amends because I want something out of it. I don't want that person to say sorry for what they did to me. I want them to know that I'm sorry for the things that I remembered that I'd done to them, that the things that I can disclose, because there's partial disclosure in amends, because we don't want to cause any more harm. So I made amends for those things that I could fully disclose, and then I ask them, what can I do? Or is there anything you remember that I haven't mentioned, and what can I do to make it right? And that was the process that I started to go through. This self-appraisal, looking at what can I put right? This step takes courage. It takes courage to walk into situations where you know you've hurt people. But I know that I mustn't shrink at anything. And why do I know that? Because my experience and the experience of my sponsor has shown me that I must do. There are things that I must do that are essential for life, the big book says. They're essential for life. And that's why I need to do them. Guidance is the key to this step. In a multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. And sometimes when you're making amends, your sponsor may not have gone through a situation like that, and you will need to ask other people that have been through similar situations. It's really important to get counsel around those things. And also, you know, the whole idea of now developing this relationship with God is about timing as well. You know, there is a time and there is a place for amends. Also, big point to why I started in 6 and 7 is, has my behavior changed enough to be content with where I'm at, for my family to see that actual change has taken place? Because there's no good me going in to make an amends to my mum or dad and then relapsing the week after, even though I don't have any power over that. He has the power, and that's, I know that today. But there has to be consistency in my recovery. Let me just check my timer. Okay, we're okay. Page 83. The alcoholic is like a tornado, roaring his way through the lives of others. Hearts are broken, sweet relationships are dead, affections have been uprooted, selfish and inconsiderate habits have kept the home in turmoil. We feel a man is unthinking when he says that sobriety is enough. He is like the farmer who came out of the cyclone cellar to find his home ruined. To his wife, he remarked, "Don't see anything about her here, Ma, ain't it grand, the wind stopped blowing." I think for, you know, most of my sort of first year, because I came into the program when I was 21, I relapsed 5 years later, having tried to do recovery without a program, which took me to the darkest place I've ever been in my life, where I tried to hang myself in a dry house. That's how painful this program can, life can get without a program. You know, and then in those years, you know, I thought to myself, well, being clean's enough. It's enough for my family to see that I'm clean, but actually, it's not. You know, I've had an amazing time making amends. It hasn't always been easy. In fact, family have been the hardest for me. Because, it just feels so uncomfortable when you're sitting down. It just feels like so, it's just not the norm for me and my brother, say, my big brother, Greg. It's not the norm for us to sit down and have a sort of chat, you know, about that kind of thing, you know. So it was amazing to see these people just begin to heal from the harm I caused. You know, just begin to heal, because time has been the greatest healer in all those relationships and my consistency with this program and my recovery. Had some amazing times. I've had times where my mum made amends to my mum and she started pointing out all these other things that I used to do, which were really selfish. And, you know, it was freeing, to be honest with you. I'm not scared of the truth today. You know, the truth does not scare me. It's not always nice when someone says, you know, something to you and they try and correct you, or, you know, it's not always nice, but I choose today to grow and to put my recovery first, because I want those relationships so badly. You know, at the moment, you know, had I not made those amends to my brother, my big brother, who I love and adore, you know, his 8 weeks ago, his wife, who was the same age as me, has been diagnosed with stage 4 terminal cancer. And, you know, had I not been on this journey of amends, and I wouldn't have been reconciled to my brother, and then I wouldn't have been present with him now, where I can go and be altruistic in that situation where it's not all about me, how I'm feeling, because I'm going to lose my sister-in-law who I've known since I was 15. You know, it's not about me. It's about them. And that's such a freeing thing. What else can I say about it? Let's have a look. I made amends. I was laughing. I was having a joke with my husband. So when I first went through the CA way 14 years ago, I was a bit of a fanatical big book person. And I still am about the big book, but I'm not as fanatical. But I did go at this, like, I got my list in my back of my big book. And I went to everywhere, you know. I wrote to doctors and apologized to them for... It was silly, really. Oh, my gosh, it's so embarrassing. I got this letter back from a doctor that had known me all my childhood. You know, I'd written this lovely letter. I need to apologize to you and for manipulating you for this, that, and the other, for causing drama in the surgery, blah, blah, blah. And he wrote this letter back, and he had no recollection of it at all. So I was like, why did I even do that? Oh. But it's a humbling experience, do you know what I mean? Even though it's quite humiliating, but it's humbling. I made amends to all kinds. Woolworths. Does anybody remember Woolworths? They don't have it anymore. Yeah, I used to nick the sweets there when I was a kid. Just stick them in my pocket. all kinds of different things that I went on my list, neighbours, institutions, the police, that wasn't easy. Just everything and everyone that I could remember that I'd brought harm. I'm just trying to think, I'm drying up a bit. I think the most important thing about this process is that you are going to have an amazing time, even if when things can sometimes feel awkward or uncomfortable, it is going to amaze you before you're halfway through. It is going to amaze you when you unblock the process of unblocking to allow the power in that is going to restore you to a sound mind in all kinds of situations in your life, especially around the question of alcohol and drugs. When you receive that, when you allow that to flow through you, it is absolutely amazing. You know, I wouldn't change anything that has happened to me in recovery. My husband relapsed in recovery. Of course I didn't want that to happen. He, you know, to the point where he was in the Salvation Army again, people would come up to me and say, oh, he's out begging there. Did those things, had I allowed those things to completely consume me, the fear, you know, and everything else consume me, I wouldn't be here today. I have the tools. And that's what I wanted to say about that thing where I said, think about other people, when you've had injustice, and when injustice has happened to you, how that feels for the other person, you know, because we have a toolkit. We have a toolkit. So when injustice is done to me today, I can go to my sponsor. She usually says, mind your own business. That's usually where we get to in the outcome. You know, it's like, yeah, it's none of your business. It's God's business, not yours, Mel. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, but come on. They're out of order. They've done this, this, and this to me. No, it's none of your business. I think that really frees our minds, you know, from being consumed with self and, oh, you know, I'm this, they've done that, and, you know, and that's the beautiful thing that this step gives you is peace of mind. And obviously the next person who's going to share is going to share on continuing with this kind of stuff on a daily basis. So, check the timer again. I think, let me have a little look before I finish. Oh, there's a little bit in here about how we approach the man, yeah, or woman. And, yeah, I was just thinking about how I've approached it. I don't say to that person that my sobriety depends on me doing this with you. Because for me, I don't want to put that on someone else, you know. I want this to be an altruistic, selfless thing, not a self-seeking thing. I'm going to end with this. This is what I'm going to do because I've dried up a bit. Here we go. So this is on page 317 in the stories afterwards in the big book. And it's... I thought this was quite apt and powerful, so I'm going to read it and then I'll finish with it. Following the principles laid out in the big book has not always been comfortable, nor will I claim perfection. I've yet to find a place in the big book that says, now you have completed the steps, have a nice life. The program is a plan for a lifetime of daily living. There have been occasions when the temptation to slack off has won. I view each of these as learning opportunities. When I am willing to do the right thing, I am rewarded with inner peace no amount of liquor could ever provide. When I am unwilling to do the right thing, I become restless, irritable, and discontent. It is always my choice. Through the 12 steps, I have been granted the gift of choice. I am no longer at the mercy of a disease that tells me the only answer is to drink or use. If willingness is the key to unlocking the gates of hell, it is action that opens the doors so that we may walk freely among the living. Over the course of my sobriety, I've experienced many opportunities to grow. I have had the struggles and achievements. Through it all, I have not had to take a drink or a drug, nor have I ever been alone. Willingness and action have seen me through it all. With the guidance of a loving higher power and the fellowship of the program, when I'm in doubt, I have faith that things turn out as they should. When I'm afraid, I reach my hand out for another alcoholic or addict to steady me. Life has not heaped monetary riches upon my head, nor have I achieved fame in the eyes of the world. My blessings cannot be measured in those terms. No amount of money or fame could equal what has been given to me. Today I walk down any street, anywhere, without the fear of meeting someone I've harmed. Today my thoughts are not consumed with craving for the next drink or drug, or regret for the damage that I did on the last drink or drug. Today I reside among the living, no better, no worse than any of God's other children. Today I look in the mirror when I put on my makeup and smile, rather than shy away from looking myself in the eye. Today I fit into my skin. I am at peace with myself and the world around me. I'll leave it there, thank you.